Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Thursday. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Urban Meyer, Greg Jennings, Chris Sims, Greg Cosell stops by again today. And Joy Taylor is joining me. I know for a lot of people, they consider this the dead time for sports talk radio in America. I love coming to work on days like this. Today, our prep usually lasts 2.5 hours. We were about an hour 45 in. We had it all done. We got so many topics today. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. Joy today looks like an elegant movie star in 1969.
Well, we are in Hollywood, Colin.
Yeah, 1967. Marlena Dietrich is dominating the airwaves.
I'm going for Dorothy Dandridge.
You drive people to the theater. You look great.
Thanks.
Hi, everybody. Great to have you in. You know, you ever work with anybody? Or you ever had a boss? Ever been in somebody in your life and you're like, they're loopy. They're crazy. And then all of a sudden, years later, you're like, maybe they were a lot smarter than I thought. I know we've made fun. People have. The media has made fun of Jerry Jones. You ever think maybe, have you watched their drafts in the last 7-8 years? Maybe Dallas is a little smarter than you think. They do win their division 2 of the last 3 years. When's the last time, outside of the Romo injured year, they were bad? Maybe Jerry Jones, he did hire Parcells and Jimmy Johnson. Maybe Jerry's a little smarter than you think, and his son's a little smarter than you think. 2 days ago, I said this, Joy and I talked about this, that Jerry Jones just put on a cowboy hat and a cowboy shirt, sat under a nice shaded tree, and delivered an address saying basically, you know, running backs don't win Super Bowls, and he said it with that Texas charm and that homey Texas slang, and you're like, man, Jerry's making a real impact here. Well, Stephen Jones did it yesterday, his son. Stephen Jones came out and he talked to the media, but I want you to listen to what he said because he's not talking to the media. Oh, I mean, the media is who he's addressing, but he's talking to other Cowboy players. Here it is, talking about Zeke.
We want to be fair. We want our players to feel good about their contract. But at the same time, we don't want to do things that are out of line because we can't afford to be that way. Whether it's Dak, whether it's Amari, whether it's Zeke, they all understand we've got a whole group of young players coming behind them that want to be Dallas Cowboys and want to stay here. And we save money, whether it's with Dak, whether it's with Zeke, whether it's with Amari. It's not saving Jerry and I a dollar. It's just money that's going to go to another player.
Oh, that's so smart. Stephen Jones is saying, that guy in Cabo, he's taking your money, not taking ours. He's not talking to the media there. This is not Zeke against the Cowboy owners. Jerry and Stephen have pushed it, moved the argument to Zeke is taking your money. So smart. Now it's not ownership against young star player. It's Zeke. If he takes more money, he's just taking money out of your pocket and your family's pocket, and you guys are all great. And there is an advantage to having that sort of, I got to be honest, that whole Texas twang thing makes everything sound a little softer. Somebody with a Texas twang could walk up to you and say, you're fired, and we love you here, but you just couldn't get the job done, and we love you here in Dallas. But you're not getting a job. I'm going to have to fire you, and I feel bad for your family and your children. But we're going to have to let you go. And by the end of it, you're like, yeah, you didn't do a good enough job. You deserve to be fired. It's that Texas twang thing. And Stephen and Jerry just go on, we'd love to pay you. It's like the opposite of a British accent. Like, the British accent is harsh. You know, you can say anything with a British accent, and it sounds smart, right? Like, you got that, of course, Paw Patrol is the greatest show of all time. If you don't watch Nickelodeon, you don't understand the world is flat. It's complete rubbish. And you believe it. There's something about Stephen and Jerry and the Texas twang, and they make you feel like they love you and want to put your arms around you, and they want you to be Cowboys. And boy, they're good at it. Boy, they're good at it. They're really smart at it. and they turn this Zeke thing, this could implode a locker room, right? You got to pay Zeke. You got to pay the star. And they just shift it over. We love him. We think he's a good old cowboy. But, well, he takes money from this cowboy. We can't give it to this other cowboy we like. It's so smart. It's so thoughtful. It's so brilliant that this is no longer Zeke against management. It's Zeke taking money from other cowboy players. They have done. By the way, Jane Slater was on our show yesterday. You know, everybody keeps saying it's going to get done, but Jane Slater on our show yesterday, Cowboy Beat Reporter, said, not so fast.
I reached out this morning, and the text back I got on was close, nope. And I said, what is the sticking point then? Are we talking guarantees? Are we talking extensions, Joy? The pushback I got was everything. Now, my follow-up question was, okay, well, do we anticipate we're going to see him show up in Oxnard on August 6th, this arbitrary deadline we've been hearing about, how it affects him being a restricted free agent after this year? The response was, we don't know.
Remember this about Jerry and Stephen Jones. The NFL is owned, except Mark Davis of the Raiders, mostly by 30 billionaires. Billionaires. And yet the billionaires let the Jones family lead them on most issues. Billionaires don't choose the dumb guys in the room to lead them. The Cowboys know what they're doing. Jerry and Steven know what they're doing. And what they're doing is telling all those Cowboy players, you're all young and great, and we want to be in business with all of you forever. That guy in Cabo down there having fun in the surf, he's just taking your money. Really smart. Let me shift to this. So, lists can be arbitrary, opinion-based, not really fact-based, but lists are fun, especially when a list is comprised of opinions from people in an industry. So NFL players every year vote on the top 100 players in the NFL. NFL players do. And they voted this year in the top 100 players, and there are 15 quarterbacks that made the list. Now, they didn't go 1 through 15. But here is the order in which NFL players who watch film, who watch quarterbacks, who see their strengths, who see their weaknesses, who listen to their coaches tell them this quarterback can do this, he can't do this. Here is the order of the quarterbacks according to players. Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, 4, Philip Rivers, Andrew Luck. Number 7, Russell Wilson. 8, Jared Goff. Big Ben. Baker Mayfield's the 10th best. Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan. Kirk Cousins, 13. Cam Newton, 14. Carson Wentz, injured a lot, is the 15th and last quarterback selected by players in the top 100 list. It is mostly reasonable. It is not outrageous. Baker's a little higher than I would put him. Kirk Cousins is a little higher than I would put him. I would put Derek Carr somewhere in that list, in my opinion. But players are telling you, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, and Kirk Cousins, better than Cam. Players watch film. Players hear coaches. Players face him over and over. I do not hate Cam Newton. I was just right and early on Cam Newton. Is that players, and players, by the way, generally like super athletic stars. Players sometimes don't get the system guy, but players generally, they like their Antonio Brown. They like their OBJ. Players like NBA, guys love Westbrook. Steph can't get any credit for players. They love Westbrook. Cam's the kind of guy people would like. Big, handsome, rock star. He got his, you know, he's got music. He's more than just a player. You think players would like him. Nope. Kirk Cousins is ahead of him. Jared Goff's ahead of him. Baker Mayfield, baby, ahead of him. I don't hate Cam Newton. I never hated Russell Westbrook. I can hate components and part of their game. Is that after all these years, 7 years of excuses, once again, I'm being told Cam doesn't have this, Cam doesn't have that, Cam doesn't have this. Deshaun Watson doesn't have an offensive line. And he's significantly higher than Cam Newton. Stop with the excuses. Nobody is a victim of their reputation. It is all talk show host, dentist, attorney, teacher, quarterback, earned. 7 years in, this is what Cam is, according to other NFL players. And it's just about where I have him. I have him ahead of Kirk Cousins, by the way. I have him ahead of Kirk Cousins. That I do. I think I also have him ahead of Baker Mayfield. I may not. That's a close one. I watched him play last year. I thought Baker was better on that Sunday. All right. Great having you in today. Isn't it amazing about, and I say this lovingly, isn't it amazing about what a Texas twang does? I'm listening to Stephen Jones. You almost feel guilty being paid as a cowboy. We love all you. We want to pay all. You all want to be cowboy. I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a pay cut to play for this team.
I mean, you gotta use the gifts you're given. On.
You really do. I mean, just the gift of that Jones family, little Texas draw.
You got that Southern charm?
That's what they call it. They call it Southern charm.
Use it to your advantage.
Use it to your advantage. That's what they call it, by the way. Good get on that. It's called Southern charm. And boy, do the Jones boys know how to work it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Right now, the movie industry, it's hard to get comedies made. It's hard to get people, the big money people in Hollywood, to spend a lot of money on a comedy. And The Bridesmaids back in 2011 was the last, like, big comedy hit. That was a very, very funny movie. Did you ever see Bridesmaids? I thought it was
hilarious.
I thought it was absolutely hilarious. I mean, like, it was kind of like Hangover for women. Inappropriate.
It was. It was great.
It was great. And that was the last big comedy hit in America, Bridesmaids. But it's very hard to get comedies made. And the reason being is once movies start bombing in a certain genre, the money people back out. It's the same thing in the NFL. Momentum is a real thing. If you tried to pitch a comedy in Hollywood today, people would say, can I put Spider-Man in it? Maybe Spider-Man has a wacky neighbor. How about Iron Man? Iron Man and a wacky, zany sidekick. That would be a good comedy. This is the new momentum of Hollywood. Big blockbuster superhero movies. It's the same thing in the NFL. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, go look at the last four teams in the NFL last year. Rams had Todd Gurley, star running back, got hurt. Put in C.J. Anderson, got to a Super Bowl. Kansas City cut Kareem Hunt, got to the AFC Championship overtime. New England, bunch of B running backs, Super Bowl, won it. Saints traded Mark Ingram, no big deal. Gave their wide receiver big money, not the running back. This is the current momentum. This is the current momentum in the NFL. And by the way, the Rams look a lot like the Cowboys. They paid Todd Gurley, and it looks like money not well spent. The Rams have a young quarterback, some of you doubt. So do the Cowboys. The Rams and the Cowboys have way above average offensive lines. Rams and the Cowboys have some spectacular young defensive stars. Todd Gurley got hurt for the Rams. Let's get C.J. Anderson. He's been cut twice last year. Boom, Super Bowl. By the way, C.J. faced the Cowboys. He had 123 yards rushing in Los Angeles. So this is the way it works in Hollywood. It's hard to get comedies made because the current momentum is comedies don't make big money. The current momentum in the NFL is Rams lost Gurley, got to a Super Bowl. Philadelphia won a Super Bowl, no star back. New England won a Super Bowl, no star backs. Saints, great offense, just let go of their running back, traded him. Kansas City cut Kareem Hunt, still got to within a play of the Super Bowl. Like, momentum's a real thing. Look around the room. You don't need star running backs right in front of you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Yesterday, I got to tell you, Baker Mayfield makes a lot of noise. Had a beard, cut a beard, mustache, ripping receivers. I kind of like the new story that's out about Baker Mayfield being very critical of his wide receivers. I like this. I have no problem with my receiver, especially for a young football team, Cleveland, youngest roster in the NFL. I have no problem Baker Mayfield chewing guys out. This team needs guidance. This team isn't one of the smarter teams in the league because they got a bunch of 23-year-old kids. This is not a veteran team. This is a team that's going to need Baker Mayfield to bark at him a lot. I have no problem with the stories coming out. Now, I do think this team stays in the news constantly. The two noisiest teams this offseason have been Oakland, they're trying to sell season tickets in Vegas, and Cleveland, they like being relevant. They haven't been relevant in 30 years. They're now very relevant. Yesterday, Baker was talking about confronting receivers and barking at receivers, and let's play the tape.
Well, yeah, I'm not a jackass. You got to talk through it. Yeah. I'm gonna harp on it, and then I'm gonna talk to him. And then those guys know that that's a big part of our offense, and they know that. It's just the fact that if we get lazy and we let things slide, we need to be over communicating right now. That's what the good teams do. I mean, like I said, we got to be on the same page. There's an appreciation from my end that, you know, he's able to come communicate and talk through things. And it's just having that open relationship. Obviously, there's a chain of command. What Freddie says goes, but just being able to talk through things and see it from their perspective or mine is really good.
Browns just moved their camp next to a railroad track, apparently. I like everything you said there. Got standards, can't let them slip, you got to bark. Totally agree. And I also think we should allow Baker a little movement here, a little leeway on yelling. This is a really young team with a bunch of new pieces. This is not Brady working with Edelman again or Matt Ryan working with Julio Jones. Young team, new coach, new players, young star quarterback, let him bark. Love this about him. Now, they're way too noisy for me. Oakland's way too noisy for me. I like Indianapolis. I like the Rams. I like New England. Pittsburgh's been really quiet. And here's the funny thing. When I'm thinking about this morning with Cleveland, every time I hear a Brown story, all I think about is the Steelers are sitting there going, just keep talking. Just keep talking. That's all every time there's a Brown story. And so I thought today, I've said, I think Pittsburgh wins the division. I think Cleveland finishes second, and Cleveland's in a playoff fight at the end of the year. Whether they make it or not, injuries, momentum. So I thought this morning I would do what we all did as kids and what fans often do. I can say I think Pittsburgh's going to win and Cleveland's going to finish second, but I'll lay the schedule out. I'm going to go through Pittsburgh's schedule, and I'll tell you why I think they're going to win the division. I'll go to every game. Here's their schedule. I think they lose at New England to start. New England's not great in September, but the opening game at night in Foxborough, this is where Belichick, off rest, off buys, open season, always great, they lose. Then I think they beat Seattle in Pittsburgh because they have better personnel. I think they go west to San Francisco and get snipped a little. I think San Francisco with Garoppolo and their weapons beats them. I then think they beat the Bengals, Baltimore, and they go to L.A. and beat the Chargers because the stadium will be 50% Steeler fans. Then I think they come home and beat Miami. They play the Rams and the Colts back-to-back at home. I think they split. I'm not going to say they beat both. I think they lose to Indy and beat the Rams, although I could flip it. I think Cleveland beats them. It's an 8:20 late Sunday night game, biggest game for the Browns in the last 20 years. And Cleveland beats Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. Then I think they beat a bunch of teams. They have the best offensive line arguably in the league, and they lean on Cincinnati. They beat Cleveland at home. They beat Arizona. They beat Buffalo. They beat the Jets. Then I think they rest starters against Baltimore on the road, a physical team. They rest some starters. They've won the division. They get into the playoffs, and they're 11-5. That's what I think the Steelers are. I've given you every game. I have them losing at New England, losing at San Francisco, losing one of the two, Colts or Rams at home, losing at Cleveland, and then mailing in week 17, getting healthy for the playoffs. Let's look at Cleveland's schedule. Remember, new head coach, youngest roster in the NFL. I have them losing to Tennessee in the opener. I've said this now for a month. I don't understand the line on this. Tennessee's getting 5. They've got a proven head coach, 9-7, 9-7, 9-7 last 3 years. Second to third best offensive line will neutralize Cleveland's excellent pass rush. I think Tennessee wins the game. Yell at me, I've already bet it. I think they beat the Jets, who are talented but uneven. I think they lose to the Rams at home because I think the Rams have better personnel. I think they have a much better coach in Sean McVay. I think they have a more experienced quarterback, and I think the Rams are better than Cleveland. I do think Cleveland then goes to Baltimore and crushes and humiliates the Ravens and are the talk of the league in week 4. But they get really high on themselves because they are the youngest team in the league, go to San Francisco and lose. I think they beat Seattle and then lose back-to-back at New England, at Denver. By the way, yell if you want about Denver. It's the one place in the league Brady has struggled. Young team, high altitude, have them losing. Then I think they get hot. They beat Buffalo, beat Pittsburgh badly at home, beat Miami. I don't think they sweep the Steelers, so they lose at Pittsburgh close. They beat Cincinnati, they beat Arizona. And remember, I have them losing at home to Baltimore. I believe they're going to humiliate Baltimore early in the year at Baltimore. It's going to be Cleveland's greatest game of the year. They're going to destroy Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. And Baltimore's not going to forget about it. Very well coached, John Harbaugh. Come back and beat Cleveland. Upset them in Cleveland. Then they beat Cincinnati, and they're 9-7. Now, I know what you're saying. No way we'll lose to Tennessee. Bet your 401k. Tennessee's the game. Big talker. Yep. Go bet it. Bet $5,000, $3,000. Tennessee 5 points, better coach, significantly better offensive line, a proven running team. By the way, Tennessee last year crushed New England, crushed Dallas, beat 4 playoff teams. So that's the game. Remember, new coach, young roster, big expectations. You can yell at that Tennessee game. I think they lose it. And I think they're real bumpy for about 7 weeks. Then the Browns get hot. So there it is. I put it on paper. Hold me to it. That's how I feel. I feel great about it right now.
You're very sure about that Tennessee game.
I really am. I think it's the upset of the weekend. I don't get the number. Generally, every week in Blazing 5, I have a game. There's one game, and I always say, I don't, I'm pretty good on Blazing 5. I've had like 11 straight years of winning. There are games that the numbers, I take a lot of underdogs. That is a very good underdog pick. 5 to 5.5 Tennessee. Vrabel's better than Kitchens. More veteran roster. Better offensive line. They were a 9-7 team last year. They beat 4 playoff teams, Dallas and New England badly. And they're a weird team that often plays better on the road than at home. And by the way, Mariota is healthy, at least for week 1. And we know when he's healthy, he's pretty good.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's my podcast. You better believe I'm talking a lot about football. I used to work in the NFL. Now I talk for a living. Became friends with Colin. Now I host a podcast for Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. Every week, Tuesday and Friday, I'm talking all about the NFL. And you better believe right now, diving into training camps, going all around the league. John Middlecoff, go subscribe the 3 and Out Podcast.
NFL films over 30 years. Greg Cosell, we brought you on yesterday, got a ton of feedback on. I just love having you on. So he's going to be on now, this point forward, till February. And I get people all the time in the grocery store, the car wash. They love Greg Cosell. So before we get to our NFL stuff, because you got some really good breakdowns on film, you, yesterday after you were on, after the show, handed me a pamphlet, and you said, I love this, and you said, okay, I've graded all the college guys, I've looked at all the tape, so let's go through them. Let's go through the guy I think is the best prospect since Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. What does the film say on Trevor Lawrence?
Well, I've got it right here, Colin. I figured, you know, since I gave it to you, we would go to it. We would go to the material here, because I watched, let's see, I watched 3-4 games on Lawrence, okay, obviously later in the season, and he showed the attributes that bode really well. Now, he's got to play another year, another 2 years, actually, but the thing that really stood out to me, and I made this note, and I kind of highlighted it, was poise and composure in the pocket, really impressive for a young quarterback, because he's essentially a pocket quarterback. And the other thing that I think is absolutely critical, we'll talk about this with Dak Prescott as well when we get to that, but his willingness to turn it loose. I think when a young quarterback has that willingness, Colin, that's something that's really important, because to be a high-level NFL quarterback, there are times in every game where you've got to make difficult throws into tight windows, whether it's versus zone, whether it's man, and there's a small area to place the ball. Trevor Lawrence showed the willingness to do that, and I think that's so critical as he develops.
By the way, that was Andrew Luck. There's a let it rip component. You throw some picks early. Peyton Manning with let it rip. You're gonna Big Ben with let it rip. Phillip Rivers, he's gonna throw some picks, but that confidence to say, I trust my instincts, I trust my arm, I'm gonna let it go. Elway, by the way, people forgot, threw a lot of early picks.
Oh, I remember through his first 9-10 years, he had actually more interceptions than touchdowns. And I think Jim Fossil, it might have been 1993, came in as the offensive coordinator with a different system, and Elway's numbers then really improved dramatically.
Okay, a player that I don't like as much as everybody else, Tua at Alabama. I think he's going to be a pro. I think he's very much out of the stock of Russell Wilson. I don't think he's Russell Wilson. Everybody loves him. I think he's good. I don't think he's a great prospect.
Right.
What do you think?
I watched a lot of him because I think he's going to be polarizing when all said and done. Yeah. And obviously he has another year. keep in mind that they ran a ton of RPOs, run pass option. Yeah. Almost 30% of their plays were RPOs.
Wow.
And RPOs are more effective in college than they are in the NFL because of the symmetry of the field. The hash marks are wider. There's more space. Because as you know, Colin, the wide side of the field in college is extremely wide, right, very difficult to cover. So RPOs in college football are really difficult. So I thought Tua was very, very good, in some ways programmed. And I think everything was well defined for him. The reads were defined. The throws were defined.
That's not the NFL.
They're trying to do more of that, but it's obviously not the way it is all the time in the NFL. So I think this is an important year for him. I know people say he's the automatic number one pick. I don't get caught up in that. I think there are some things he's got to do better. He's a little bit of a pusher the way he throws. He doesn't really torque with his core, so he's not a drive thrower. He does throw a good deep ball, but I think there's things to watch this year that he needs to improve on.
Okay, Jake Fromm at Georgia. I actually like him more as a pro prospect.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that I think is going to be better when he gets to the NFL. Now, again, he's in a very structured system as well. You know, when you get defensive head coaches in a place like Georgia where they have great defensive players and great defensive talent and they play with Fromm under center, they may tell him, hey, we don't want to be real aggressive throwing the ball. We don't know that. I certainly don't know that. He was a little cautious, but I think he throws the ball well, doesn't have a gun. It'll be interesting how he's seen when he comes out. We'll see. People say, oh, he's just a system guy who operates a system. But when all said and done, that's what all NFL passing games are. Every coach has a system, and they want the quarterback to execute the system within the structure of it.
Oregon has a kid named Justin Herbert. I don't like the swings home and away. Can be great at home, so on the road. That worries me. Leaders win on the road. But a talent, he is a huge talent.
Oh, Colin, I watched his 2017 tape last summer because I just assumed he would come out, and he decided to stay. So now I've watched some games from 2018 as well. And he is what you look for. He's big. He's athletic. Big arm. Can make every throw.
Oh, look at that throw.
Can make
God.
Second reaction plays. I mean, this kid is really, really good.
I mean, he's mobile, too. He can run.
Yes, and he's probably, I guess he'll probably be 6'5", 230, 235.
God, he's got an arm.
He has everything that you look for. I said after 2017, when I watched his tape, that if he came out this past year, he could be a top five pick. And obviously, he chose not to come out. Now, I don't know anything about the kid. That's the thing you don't know, and I certainly don't know. But just talent and ability, he's got top five talent.
Yeah, he jumps. He makes a throw here. I'll show it. That corner throw he makes is an absolute rifle. I worry about leadership. I hear things about leadership I don't love, but a talent. Now, let's throw one more out there. This was your curveball yesterday. This is the guy. This is our Carson Wentz. Nobody hears about him, and you go out and go, there's this kid in North Dakota. So Jordan Love at Utah State.
Utah State. Yeah, I'm gonna go to my notes on this one as well, because here's what I said. I said that he has the overall skill set to be in the discussion for a top five pick in the 2020 draft. He's got arm strength. He's got pace and touch. He threw with precise ball placement.
He's a big kid.
He's got athleticism and movement. He's got second reaction ability. He's a natural thrower.
Ooh.
Colin. He's an over-the-top thrower.
Wow.
You don't see a lot of over-the-top throwers. I found this kid to be very, very impressive on film. And what I loved about watching him, Colin, he was virgin territory for me. Someone told me about him. I didn't really know anything about him. So when I put the tape on, I was starting totally from scratch.
He's my new number one. Off this 38-second clip. I'll tell you what, he looks, the way he throws the ball, that's like an NFL quarterback.
Oh, without question.
He looks like an NFL quarterback.
He looks the part for sure. As you can see, he's a very comfortable, easy thrower of the football.
Hey, Wentz played in the middle of nowhere. Josh Allen played at Wyoming. John Santamaria, how'd he get to Utah State? There's a lot of good quarterback coach. You know, this whole 7-on-7 stuff in high school now.
Without question.
There's just a bunch of good players. And guess what? He gets to start at Utah State, not back up in Oklahoma.
And I never, even with Wentz, we talked, a lot of people said, well, he played at North Dakota State, so I can't draft him high. My response to that is, so if it takes an extra 2 or 3 months, what's the difference? If you think the guy's going to be great,
who cares?
What's the difference if it takes an extra 2 or 3 months?
Right. Let's go to the NFL.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes got to sit for a year, came out last year, all sorts of records. He is a unique arm talent.
Unique.
Do you think it just keeps going?
Well, the numbers, I don't know if he throws 50 touchdowns every year. That's not the point.
Right.
I was kind of pleased, because this is what I saw on tape, I was kind of pleased to hear Patrick Mahomes admit that what he needs to work on this offseason and through training camp is he needs to work on his footwork and he needs to become more precise.
Do you agree?
Yes, 100%. Now, again, Mahomes is like Aaron Rodgers in the sense that you always feel like you have to qualify everything you say with, he's a great talent. Well, we know he's a great talent. That doesn't mean there's nothing to work on.
Thanks. That's right.
You know? So what he needs to work on is to become more precise and more efficient with his footwork, his drop back, running the system as it is. You can't, in my view, maybe I'm wrong, but in my view, you can't live on secondary action plays. That's not the nature of the NFL. He is obviously good enough to sit in the pocket and make every single throw, but he's well aware that he needed to work on his footwork and his timing with the route concepts.
Yeah, and Andy Reid's a good teacher.
Without question.
Yeah. Let's talk about Jimmy G. Joey and I always talk about this. If Carson Wentz or Jimmy G get hurt again, you start having people in the organization go, we got a problem here.
Yeah.
Jimmy G has now been hurt twice. The last time he got hurt, he didn't get hit. So I like him. I would say, I'll just throw this out. I think his build and athletic ability reminds me of Trubisky, but I think he's a much better thrower.
He is a better thrower.
I like him a lot. Am I overheating here a little bit?
Well, I think one thing people have to keep in mind is he started 10 games in the NFL. It seems like he's been around forever. He started 10 games. So he hasn't even started a full season. So we have to understand that. Now, he's in a great system. Kyle Shanahan is as good as there is in the league at defining throws for quarterbacks.
Now, explain that to my audience. What does that mean?
It means that the route concepts based on the drop present the primary throw.
Quarterback has a very easy roadmap on where to throw it.
Relatively speaking. I mean, nothing is easy in the NFL, but relatively speaking.
Okay.
It's why Nick Mullins could go in last year and be functionally efficient, because the offense presents the throws with the route concepts, the protection, the quarterback's drop. So Kyle Shanahan does a great job of that. Where I think that Jimmy Garoppolo needs improvement is a couple of areas. Number one, he can tend to play a little fast in the pocket, get his feet moving a little too much.
That's a very young quarterback. That happens a lot.
And because he has that whip-like delivery, that's great, but then he makes a lot of throws off balance, and the ball placement is not as precise as it needs to be. That's one area he needs work. The other area, and I think this is because of the way he throws, knowing that he's got that whip delivery and a quick delivery, is there are times he just waits a beat too long, and the throw in the NFL, if you wait a beat too long, is late. And late in the NFL, and we're talking millisecond late in the NFL, is late, and that causes problems.
Does he struggle reading? Because sometimes
I think the term I use, everybody likes to use the word process. I use the phrase elimination and isolation. In other words, eliminate what's not there and isolate what is there within the timing of the drop and the route concepts. I think he needs work in that area as well.
Let's talk some Dak Prescott before we get to the big play. He was 7-1 down the stretch against four playoff teams. Young people get better. You do reach at some point as a professional athlete, 27, 28, your game is sort of your game.
Right?
And then you just try to hold on to the
He's only going into his fourth year, though.
Okay, he's a kid. Yeah. So I watched him at the end of the year, and my takeaway was completed 71% of his throws.
Yeah.
He's not a gifted Trevor Lawrence ball whips off his hands.
Right.
But there's something there. He got better.
I think the way I talk about Prescott, and I knew because of the contract situation that I'd watch a lot of him. So I did this summer. I watched a lot of Dak Prescott from last year. I think one of the areas that he needs to get better at, and I don't know if this is in his DNA or I don't know if it's something that can be improved, he tends to be a very cautious thrower. Now, that works when your offense is built around Ezekiel Elliott and your defense is playing really well. He's not a turn-it-loose guy.
So he lacks a little confidence in his
arm. I don't know the reason for it. You know, he'd have to tell you that.
Okay.
We don't know the answer to that. The film tells you that there are throws that are there to be made that he doesn't often pull the trigger on, and maybe he checks it down, or maybe he leaves the pocket. But tends to be a cautious thrower. Now, as I said, that works within the structure of the team. We'll see how the Ezekiel Elliott situation will play out. Maybe Jerry Jones and the staff believe, hey, he's in his fourth fourth year. We're now going to put more on Dak Prescott's plate, and we're going to ask him to take that next step and be an aggressive thrower that's going to be the foundation of what we do offensively as opposed to a puzzle piece. The tape up to this point doesn't show him being that guy, but he's going into his fourth year. It's not as if he's a 7, 8, 9-year veteran.
So let's go to the big play of the week. So let's break down some real film on Dak.
Right. Well, what I chose a play that was against the Giants last year, a game he didn't even need to play, but they opened with the Giants week one. So I thought it made sense. Okay. And it was a touchdown pass to Blake Jarwin from the high red zone, meaning the 10 to 20-yard line. It was a 19-yard touchdown. So let's take a look at the touchdown, and then we can break it down. Yeah. He threw this touchdown to Jarwin. Jarwin actually caught 3 touchdowns in this game. They were in an empty set, Colin, where there's no backs in the backfield. So what they did here, they faced a Giants defense. They knew they were going to get cover two. Now, the player at the bottom of the screen is not really a safety, but in cover two, the player who's the middle linebacker, and here it's a defensive back, but what he's going to do is he's going to open up to the passing strength. There's 3 receivers to the wide side of the field. That's the passing strength. It's 3rd and 9. So number 3 is going to attack him and make him have to defend him because he does not want to give up a 9-yard completion for a first down. So they control the middle linebacker. Now, what that does is that's going to allow Blake Jarwin, who's receiver number 2, to work behind, and they're going to, in a sense, high-low that middle linebacker. So the middle linebacker sits at the first down marker, and there goes Blake Jarwin behind him. So they're defining the throw for Prescott against cover 2. It's an excellent throw, really well designed. It's what we call a high-low concept against cover 2. Really well done, really nice throw.
And I was going to say, great velocity, throws it high enough. So
firm touch, that's the term I would use. You're not driving the ball because you don't want to throw it right at the middle linebacker. It's firm touch. That's a throw that every NFL quarterback, that kind of throw, has to be able to make to succeed in the league.
Got smarter. That's what. Have a great weekend. I'm off tomorrow. What are you?
Well, good for you.
You're doing red eye back
home. I'm taking the red eye back home. And
can you sleep on planes?
I'm actually going to a concert tomorrow night.
Well, what are you going to?
I'm going to see Heart.
Seattle, the Wilson sisters.
I always wanted to see Heart. You know, who didn't love the Heart when you were 22 years old?
Everybody.
I mean, come on.
Look it up. It's a Seattle-based band, Heart. I think it's the Wilson sisters.
The Wilsons and Nancy Wilson.
Look at that. This thing never stops working up here.
Hey,
Greg.
Come on. Classic rock. You got to love it.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Saturday, Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Our friend Tony Gonzalez, Champ Bailey, Ed Reed, Ty Law, all deserving will get in. And we thought, you know, we've got our own little Hall of Fame, and that is the Soundbite Hall of Fame because we work in the world of audio, Joy Taylor. And so without further ado, the NFL Soundbite Hall of Fame. Now, Jim Mora, Dennis Green, and Herm Edwards have already been inducted years ago.
Right.
So we are inducting, much like Tony Gonzalez, Ty Law, we are introducing and inducting new members of the Hall of Fame. We'll start with Richard Sherman due to his 2013 NFC Championship postgame interview. Congratulations.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best.
Congratulations to Richard Sherman.
Strong.
He is a new Soundbite Hall of Fame inductee.
Well deserved.
Teammate Marshawn Lynch came to the Super Bowl Media Day in 2015. He's also a new inductee.
I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Legendary.
That discipline, determination, head down. Congratulations to Marshawn Lynch. This is now the third time he's been nominated. Bart Scott, 2011, finally gets in due to this.
All we hear is about their defense. They can't stop a nosebleed. 25th in the league, and we the one to get disrespected.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. By the way, 4-time nominee T.O. 2008 talked about Tony Romo. He's a new inductee.
It's my team. It's my quarterback.
Genuine emotion.
Cannot believe it took this long to get in. Congratulations to T.O. inducted into our Soundbite Hall of Fame. A broadcaster. Now we've got a broadcaster in our Soundbite Hall of Fame. Very capable, very talented. Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings after Brett Favre's game-losing pick in 2009.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Congratulations to Paul Allen. Real, raw, authentic emotion. That
so
always
good.
Gets you in.
Yes.
T.O. and Paul Allen. One's crying, one's nearly crying.
Got to be authentic.
Okay, in our Soundbite Hall of Fame. This is a lot of emotion here. 2013, Patriot broadcaster and hype man Scott Zolak delivered this call of Brady's fourth quarter comeback against the Saints. Congratulations.
Brady's back! That's your quarterback! Pull off the building! Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
I don't even know what he said.
Just delirious excitement.
It just delirious. And so so again, this is not in Canton, Ohio, because it's audio and the radio in Los Angeles.
It lives in the cloud.
It lives in the cloud, right? So, and finally, we're going to give a Lifetime Achievement Award for our NFL Sound Hall of Fame. We're inducting, before the season starts, Raiders head coach John Gruden.
I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl or the Blue Bonnet Bowl. We're trying to go to the Super Bowl, okay? And to do that, you got to really try to end somebody's dream.
Congratulations to T.O., Bart Scott, Richard Sherman, Grumpy Marshawn Lynch, Scott Zolak, and John Gruden, our own Hall of Fame, our NFL Audio Soundbite Hall of Fame.